You all right, man? All right, man. Don't worry about it. We won't shoot him.
Oh, those terrible men. Please help. Oh, you boys are so kind.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're shooting a ridiculous amount of cowboys, Indians, and women, running and gunning our way through the Old West as we play Konami's Sunset Riders, released in 1991 for the arcade. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is a gunslinger whose hand is always on his six-shooter. It's Todd Brisket.
You in big heap trouble.
Oh, God. And our other co-host, he knows what to do with a stick of dynamite. It's Huell Hauser.
Bury me with my money.
My favorite quote from that game. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We want to buy the full run of Nickelodeon Arcade on DVD. Today's game is Sunset Riders. Released in 1991, Sunset Riders is a jaunty, Old West-themed run-and-gun game. It's kind of like Contra on horses, but it's way more colorful and bright, with a bit of humor thrown in. I played the Super Nintendo port of this game a little bit back in the day, but Todd nominated this game for coverage, and specifically the arcade version. So, Todd, what did you get us talking about this gem here?
Yeah, this gem indeed. This is... Boys, this is one of my arcade classics that I played as a kid.
Oh.
You know, a lot of people put their time in on X-Men. I didn't do much X-Men, and okay. I did some turtling, some turtles, and some Samsons.
Right.
But this is the one. This is my go-to as a young kid in the arcade.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this one, it's a side-scrolling beat 'em up with up to four players.
It's a shoot 'em beat 'em.
Shoot 'em beat 'em up.
Shooting and beating. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, and it's very difficult. You know, at a certain point, like you can put one quarter in and make it through the first stage, you'll get to the first boss, and that's the one where he says bury me with my money. And of course, that when I was a kid, that's all we ever said after playing this game.
Nice,
nonstop saying that.
Oh, that's so good.
But of course, you die immediately on the second stage. We never got past the second stage.
I was going to ask you if this is like your favorite game. Did you ever beat that second stage?
No.
I was like,
no.
This is the most impossible thing I might have ever played.
It's so difficult. I had to watch a video of somebody playing through it, and it looks like they tossed in like $10 worth of quarters.
Yeah, I think that's the only possible way. Because unfortunately, I couldn't get this working on the arcade machine that I bought, but I did play
the legal arcade machine.
Yeah, the one that I bought last week and had shipped in. But the Super Nintendo one, you only have like three hits or like three lives, quote unquote, I guess.
Yeah,
and then you're done.
Oh yeah, it is very. So it's very Contra-esque. Actually, this is a Konami game, isn't it?
Oh really?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned that.
Oh, that's why you said that at the beginning, huh? Mm-hmm.
This is like a hyper racist Contra.
I'd say the only racist part is one of the four characters you can choose, which is Cormano.
It's less racist because they actually included somebody that's not white.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, Huell also.
The racist part are the bosses.
Yeah.
Like the quote I said when I came in, he said, it's Dark Horse, the boss of stage three.
Dark Horse.
And he says, you in big heap trouble. Of course, that's why they don't show Peter Pan, the Disney cartoon anymore, is because it's quite racist.
Yeah.
Against native folk.
Yeah. Huell, how far in this game did you get?
Well, I thought I made it pretty clear that I did beat the first stage and then immediately lost on the second stage.
Oh, this game gets very racist.
Okay, oh, yeah. that answers it.
Yeah, well, the stage six boss is one of the best. Boy. His name is Chief Scalpum.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Get ready for a powwow.
Well, yep. That's not so bad.
Yep. Brisket is not being racist like he normally is. That's, I believe, what he actually says.
Accusations. Yeah. Well, maybe that's the reason the second stage is so difficult. They don't want you getting to the rest of the game.
Yeah,
realizing.
Was this? I don't know much of the history about this one, Steve. I don't know if you know. Is this a Japanese joint? Did they create this joint?
I was somewhat surprised because it is so over the top, kind of racist. Yes, this is a Japanese game.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, I think probably when they brought it over, they're like, okay, let's just make the second stage impossible so nobody will see our racism.
They probably toned it down. They toned down the racism to where it is now.
Well, here's the thing. Huel, if you'd gotten further in the game, I would have said, oh, well, you might not have thought it was that racist because they do, for the home console releases, they do tone things down a little bit.
Okay.
The Native American enemy characters from Stage 6 were removed and replaced with regular outlaws, leaving only Chief Scalpum, who's renamed Chief Wigwam, and revoiced as the stage boss.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's not... it's not
corrected.
Yeah, Stage 6, you just mow down, like, Indian after Indian.
In that stage.
Mow it down.
Yes.
You just... It's like they are like the Jawas in Super Star Wars.
The Jawas of Star Wars. That explains a lot.
Yeah, you are just eradicating them off.
Very clear picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of mentioned it in the beginning, but one of the big parts of this game is the four characters you can choose from as your hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course it is a four-player arcade game as well. But what looking at the character names, this is just the Jimmy Bimmy Central over here. Besides the one Mexican guy.
Cuadramano.
I mean, this is in the 1800s. This isn't there's no Aiden or Jadens yet. That hasn't quite taken off yet.
True. Caden.
No Aiden, Caden, Bradens, Jadens. or Spladens.
You know what? I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I loved the character names in this week's game. I thought they were great.
Was there one in particular?
There's one fighter who I thought was especially skilled.
Mm-hmm.
So,
would that be Steve?
Yeah,
Steve.
Yeah. I think.
Fun fact. Oh. Did you guys know that Steve is the bastard son of the first stage boss, Simon Greedwell. So his real name is Stephen Greedwell.
I was about to say.
There
is some possible distant relative action going on.
Well, I don't...
First boss.
I don't want to brag, but... Yes, he was buried with his money, and that's why we no longer have any as a family, which is unfortunate,
right.
But...
You don't want to brag about not having money here.
So
that inheritance didn't come through.
I don't want to brag about how humble our roots are now, thanks to our ancient ancestor who yes, he was buried with his money, which
but his bastard son did get a $10,000 reward
for murdering him. Yes,
for murdering his own father. Yes,
Steve Greedwell.
Yes. Yeah, that is the point mechanic in this game where. You shoot the enemies and you get rewarded, which is normal.
Yeah, this is what I love about this period of history is that you know, it's not about rejuvenating. What is it called? What is that called?
Gentrification?
What is that rejuvenating thing called? Gentrification.
Yeah, it makes everything better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not about putting people into prisons and rehabilitating. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Ooh, swing and a miss.
No, this is the olden times where you just run out in your pink muumuu and you blast those fools and collect the dollars. Mm-hmm. You just, I mean, they're bad. They're obviously bad, so they deserve to die. You shoot them and you take their money.
Yeah, if you do something wrong, you just get killed.
And you get rewarded from the local sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little cash money for shooting somebody.
A little sack with a dollar sign on it. Now, I saw... Sorry. Although I did not beat the second level, they show you the boss in the beginning. I think this is another distant relative of a former guest we had, Hawk. We have Hawkeye Hank Hatfield.
Oh.
So I feel like this game has a lot of connections.
I didn't even know Hawk was involved in this game, or rather his family member was.
Yeah. It's like, was that from Back to the Future? Mad Dog Tannen?
Well, yeah, in Back to the Future, you find out that everyone is either related to Marty McFly or Biff Tannen's family.
Mm-hmm. So sort of, we got the Greedwells and the Hawkeyes, and that's everything here.
Again, fine names.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Brisket, you picked kind of a winner this week. I really
It's a fun little jaunt. Just imagine playing this thing in the arcade with a couple of your buds, mm-hmm. blasting these.
Oh man,
these people, these folks.
How many chores did you have to do just to attempt level two?
Oh, I mean,
endless.
Like I said, I just put one quarter in when we played. Put the quarter.
You're
in.
You're a one quarter guy. I got.
I'm a one and done when I play in the arcade. I just get a little taste of the action, and I move on to the next machine.
Me too.
No matter how good it is.
I'm a dabbler. I mean, I'll go back for something I really liked. Like, I would play full games of NBA Jam, but that was normally after I perused the rest of the arcade. Same thing with Time Crisis. I was a big Time Crisis fan. So.
Teeb's the guy that gets the appetizer sampler at the... Mm-hmm. local restaurant.
Yeah, and I gotta say, every time I play, I don't go for Steve or Billy or Bob. I gotta be Cormando in his pink sombrero.
Yes,
and his blanket thing.
And his pink blanket thing.
Wikipedia notes that there is an Easter egg that if you beat the level 6 boss with Cormando, he takes the sombrero of the boss and he wears it for the rest of the game.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And
it's a trophy.
While playing this game, I was kind of reminded of a term coined by friend of the show Pippins. This game is definitely a quarter whore.
Right. I can definitely see that.
I actually did use the bookkeeping info in MAME for this game. It took me 83 lives to beat this game.
Ooh.
Which is equivalent to...
Oh, you beat it.
Yeah, 28 quarters. Because, in the arcade version, you can just keep pumping in quarters.
Yeah, spamming quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes the Super Nintendo one a lot harder.
Yeah, $7 I would have spent to beat this game. Which, I don't
that's know. In 19, that's in quarters, though. I mean, nowadays, less than it's 1991 movie. Play.
Yeah,
50 cents to play this thing at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe so, 75 cents at Dave and Buster's.
So that would have been, $14 then.
But then $14 in 1991 movie money is like $833 today.
Well, wait a second. We we said it was $14 in today's money. It would have been $7.
Well, that's only if it's 50 cents per play, though.
This is a 25 cent per game play, it seems like to me.
You got to adjust for inflation.
This reminds me also... we mentioned Contra, but really it also reminds me of Metal Slug, which is in every arcade ever. This game is better than Metal Slug, though.
Oh, would you say, You would say that? You would seriously say that? I'd say it's better. It's more fun, more slapsticky, more happy-go-lucky. But Metal Slug has a beat on a few things, like stage design and animation.
Metal Slug reminds me of like a more cartooned version of Contra. Whereas this game is, I don't know, it kind of has its own weird aesthetic. Like, I don't know, kind of Contra in the Old West, except it's way more cartoonish.
I'd say it's harder too.
Than Contra? Well, Contra's just a longer game. This game also took me like 45 minutes to beat, I'd say. Todd,
Infinite Lots.
Yes. Actually, the bookkeeping info said it took me 37 minutes, but I did, you know, quit it and come back to it at one point, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's weird that, like, Contra seems easier when the bullets are faster,
mm-hmm.
but in this game, like, when enemies shoot at you, the bullets are super slow.
Oh, yeah, but it seems
like you still can't escape them.
Well,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
there's less range of movement also.
Yes, you can't. Well, in Contra, you can't go backwards either. But also, your characters are so much smaller.
Well, that's true. These are huge characters.
Yeah, and also it's zoomed in kind of like Contra is almost zoomed out. Like you can, you know, there's plenty of room to move left and right and jump until you get to like. The later bosses, whereas this game, you are, you know, it's tight quarters.
Yeah. Especially on that second level, we never really described what makes the second level so hard. It's like, because the first level, you're walking on foot, you can control yourself a little easier, and you can dodge these bullets and stuff, mm-hmm. and just spray your bullets around all over the place.
Yes.
But on the second level, you're on a horse, so it's like auto side-scrolling. You're on rails.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wagon in front of you that's chucking logs at you.
Yes.
So you have to jump with your horse over the logs while shooting enemies that are both below and above you,
mm-hmm.
while also dodging their super slow bullets that you usually can't even see until it's too late because you're looking for the logs to come at you. So it's like you see the bullet and you're like, I can't move out of the way. And it's like right in your face because there's nowhere to move. You can't really move on the horse either.
Yeah, and also the control is on the stage is different where you can go forward a lot faster, but you go back a lot slower.
Yeah, you can't hold
slowing
back
your horse
very
down.
Much. Yeah.
Yes, and for some of our listeners, when Huel says horse, he means motorcycle of the past.
Mm-hmm. Just picture yourself on a motorcycle.
Yes.
But in the 1800s. And it's funny you bring that up because when T brought this up to play this week, I had never heard of it. I had no idea what it was. I just knew it was an arcade game. And the name Sunset Riders made me think of like some motorcycle game.
Oh yeah.
Where you're like racing along the coast and like or something. And then I find out there's motorcycles of the past
mm-hmm.
instead. It completely caught me off guard that it was a cowboy shoot 'em, beat 'em up.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, makes you think that all of time and all of history
mm-hmm.
is all the same.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like we found with Simon Greedwell.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any other interpretation that could possibly be ferreted from this game, really.
Look at the flowers. Look at the skies. Mm-hmm. Look at your computer. It's parallels all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there could be skies on your computer.
Mm-hmm. the second stage is definitely tougher, but one thing I did like about this game is there's quite a bit of variety in the stages. Like that one, you're riding a horse. In later stages, you have to use a Gatling gun to knock down some fences.
Ooh.
The boss battles are all kind of different. In later, the first one, he's kind of hiding behind some boxes on a railing, and you gotta shoot out the boxes first, and then you can shoot him to get his money, that kind of thing. But then after that, there's a boss who tries to attack you with melee attacks. The final boss of the game is some foo-foo French guy, and you gotta knock down his railing, and then he, you know, runs around the stage and tries to shoot you, that kind of thing. So there's a bunch of different kind of stages in this one. There, some of the stages are short, like you can beat them in about a minute. So it's neat. So
yeah, nice little variety. One of my favorite things is in the first stage when there's a stampede and you have to run on the bull on the top of the bull and jump from bull to bull.
Mm-hmm. That caught me off guard. Or the second one caught me off guard. Because you think it's over, and then there's a straggler behind it, and you just die.
Yes.
Exactly.
None of this game is easy. So.
No. They pull no punches.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it sounds like this game gets the general thumbs up from all three of us. Just a little bit of history on the game. It did not receive a direct sequel, despite being well-reviewed. The Genesis port came out in 1992. The Super Nintendo port came out in 1993. They both took out some of the racier elements. We mentioned the Native American stage, the Indian stage. But also at one point, you go to like a whorehouse and you save...
Whoa.
Like, you save the end boss, you save them from, like, the skeevy guy at the end of the stage. And also, that's a power-up at various points. You can go into a hotel room.
Yeah.
And you emerge with, like, a faster-firing gun.
Usually it's slower after that.
I don't know. Maybe you were just blocked up beforehand.
Although sometimes you do get the split stream, like you were shooting with, if you get certain power-ups.
Yes, yes.
After you go in those hotel rooms. So that would make sense.
Oh, of course. In 1993, Konami came out with Mystic Warriors, which kept some of the same gameplay, but instead it was with ninjas. Ooh. So, Teebs, did you ever play that one? I didn't.
I have not played that one.
I've never even heard of it.
I haven't heard of that one either. That one didn't make it to my arcades, but they did in 1992. Konami released a little side-scrolling shoot 'em up called "The Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa," based on the cartoon.
Interesting.
That is, it's more. It is like Sunset Riders too. The same team worked on it, and there's a lot of improvements on gameplay wise compared to Sunset Riders. Only in this one, you're playing as cows because you have the Colorado Kid, you have Dakota Dude, you have Marshall Moo Montana, and Buffalo Bull.
Well, that makes complete sense then.
God, I thought you were making this up, like just on the fly.
You guys not see this cartoon when you were kids?
It's Moo Mesa.
Oh, yeah. My God.
The Wild West Cowboys, C-O-W, C, capital C, capital O, capital W. Boys, of
what does that
stand for?
I'm looking at it now, and yeah, it's pretty much the same art style, but it's just your cow boys.
Oh, now I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
cows.
Produced by Greengrass Productions.
Aired on ABC's Saturday morning lineup.
Mm-hmm. And also,
now, what does cow stand for? I don't know. I have to look it up. Code of the West.
Clearly.
Of course.
This was a Ruby Spears production, which you probably recognize from a bunch of second-rate animated shows.
Ruby!
Oh, God, let's not go there, but... They did stuff like the Police Academy animated show.
Yeah, Mr. T cartoon.
Yep. Chuck Norris Karate Commandos, which for some reason Commandos is with a K, so it's one letter away from being something else.
What do you mean?
Alvin and the Chipmunks. Heathcliff.
Oh, yeah.
So just basically a bunch of... Not
Heathcliff,
second rate.
Yeah, basically cartoons. not Warner Brothers and not Disney. Like, to me, those are the two kind of gold standards, and then everything else, it's like, well, if it's on, I'll watch it on Saturday. But, you know, it's no Merry Melodies.
My Fruit Loops aren't done yet. What else is on?
Exactly. So, yeah. Oh, God. So I never played Mystic Warriors. I never even heard of it, unlike this game, which I at least had heard of. There hasn't been any word of a revival of the series, and it hasn't been re-released as far as I can tell. As a result, the loose Super Nintendo cart is $76.
Wow.
The Genesis version...
They're really trying to sweep all this racism under the carpet.
The Genesis version is slightly cheaper at $29.99. So... it's practically a steal, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys have any more thoughts on the gameplay for this one?
For me, I just noticed doing research that it sucks that we just had our TV and video game combo episode last week, because it's pretty obvious that this game is based off the Nickelodeon show Hey Dude.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the similarities are endless. So, I mean, that's just another possibility for... So,
some would call it an homage. It's not obviously called Hey Dude, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you really look, it's all there.
Yeah. I mean, the lady throwing the dynamite, that's like Christine Taylor. Future wife of Ben Stiller.
Right.
Yeah, we also neglected to mention that this is yet another game we have played that has lots of violence against women. So.
It's just the 90s.
Yeah,
man.
But they deserve it.
If they're throwing dynamite at me, I mean, all bets are off.
Yeah, I mean, do you just want me to take the dynamite, accept it? Is that the role you want me to play?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Right.
We have rights too, Steve Greenwell. We have rights too.
And you like it. You patriarchy person.
Got him there.
Yeah, got him good. So anyways, that was a good game.
Yeah.
So on that note, I think we had another installment of video game theater this week. Is that correct?
That's right. I was digging around doing some research about Sunset Riders this week and trying to find out, not only was it based on Hey Dude, right. they wanted to take it to the next level. They wanted to make an actual movie out of it, Sunset Riders. So I looked, dug deep, and I found a version of the script. You know, they didn't really get into production. They went into pre-production and kind of once they realized it was the mid 90s, we can't go with this racism anymore. Mm-hmm. This racism has to end. So they abandoned the script. So I thought we'd read a little bit and do a little play for the folks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds fun.
Okay. So just to set stages here, Steve's going to be the narrator.
Oh.
I'm going to be
the arsonist. Cormando. Has oddly shaped feet. The human torch.
I'm going to be Cormando, and Huel is going to be Billy.
Yes. The role I was born to play.
All right. Are we ready?
Ready.
Okay. Balcony. My grandpappy Simon Greedwell's villa. At night. Billy and Cormando, the latter so drunk he can barely stand up, stare out over Simon Greedwell's Dark Kingdom.
The more I look at you, I watch you. You're never drunk. Oh, that's real control. Control is power. That's power.
Is that why they fear us?
We have power to kill. That's why they fear us.
They fear us because we have the power to kill arbitrarily. A man commits a crime, he should know better. We have him killed, we feel pretty good about it. Or we kill him ourselves, and we feel even better. That's not power, though. That's justice. It's different than power. Power is when we have every justification to kill, and we don't.
You think that's power?
That's what the emperors had. A man stole something, he's brought in before the emperor, he throws himself down on the ground, he begs for mercy. He knows he's going to die. And the emperor pardons him. This worthless man, he lets him go.
I think you are drunk.
That's power, Cormando. That is power.
Standing O.
Oh God, I can't stand up right now. That's how powerful that scene was.
I'll let that settle.
Oh. Deep. They're going deep on this one.
Yes, I will say Cormando sounded strangely Asian at times.
Billy's accent might have needed some work.
It wasn't Irish enough.
I think every line was different.
Yes, but what you know, we'll workshop this. We'll go to the smaller rooms. We're gonna go to Poughkeepsie. We'll play Schenectady.
And it was a rough draft. I mean,
yeah, before we work our way up to Brooklyn and, you know, the Met.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, pretty soon, you know, listeners, you gotta sneak a little snifferoo of what this is going to be like on Broadway.
Indeed.
Yep, we just got to cast. I see Corey Monteith in one role, and I see Gene Wilder in the other role. And this is going to be perfect for Broadway. So, let's...
And folks that are listening, we recorded the show 5 years ago. So,
wait.
This is pre-recorded 5 years in the past when this drops.
Yeah, we're going to release this in 2016, doing the math, right?
Yes.
Yeah, according to the calendar, it's like the end of September, maybe heading into October.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, then.
5 years from now. Okay.
Yeah. Let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Unfortunately, I did not. I'd like some people to write me, please. Getting lonely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. As always, you can send us emails at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you're too lazy to write or type that down, you can go to our website, www.ypbpodcast.com, and there should be links all over that, too.
More than you'll know what to do with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Huel, how about you?
Oh, hey, should we also say just go to the Facebook page or shoot a tweet. Shoot a tweeter.
Get that twatter going.
We never see that. Say that, do we?
We don't say
Do we say
that? I guess that's... Is that part of the beginning?
Get that twatting out. get that Facebooking.
Jump on that Facebook.
We definitely don't say twatting out. We definitely don't say that.
Is that the cool new one?
Yeah. Is that what the kids are doing?
The twit.
Is that where you have to worry about the cyber?
I think it's where
the security aspect of cyber.
You need to,
where it's very, very tough.
You need to take the two, the thing above the two, mm-hmm. on the keyboard, and put that in front of your name. That's what always throws me off.
Why would we worry about a police procedural on CBS?
I don't know.
With Patricia Arquette and Ted Danson. I never worry about the cyber.
We should probably move on because maybe some emails are being ruined right now.
Wow. Well, Huel, did you receive any emails?
I did, in fact. Mm-hmm. I got an email in my email box, and it came from ScooterBot42.
Oh, Scooty.
Scooty writes in the email I'm about to read. Dear YPB, I've been on this boat for a week now. What a ride. I snuck onto a cargo ship, so I can't really get out of the empty crate I found very often. But it's all worth it to reach my beloved. I haven't even been able to listen to last week's episode, so I hope things are going well. I was able to use someone's satellite phone to send this email, and by that I mean I swiped it from a crew member. The security here is horrible. They can't even do the cyber. They're not doing the job they should be doing. There's so many things they could be doing better here, and certainly cyber is one of them. It made me wonder, what's your favorite futuristic game? Seasickly, ScooterBut42.
Oh.
Hmm.
I mean, the cyber is on everyone's mind these days, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cyber is all over the place.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Futuristic, huh? Oh, I mean, yeah. I'm gonna have to go with the obvious gold standard, the only choice, the one choice, and the only choice, and the one that is the correct answer, and that would be Mass Effect.
Oh.
Yes, it is. It's one that hits a lot of switches in the old brain there. That's a good game.
Deep story driven. Compelling RPG draws you in.
Compelling.
I am
got. It's got spaceships. It's got lasers. It's got aliens. Mm-hmm.
You can get with an alien, man.
You can get your wiener into one.
the pixelated sex scenes in Mass Effect are truly terrifying. They are just uncomfortable to watch. what was his ask again?
Your favorite futuristic game.
You know, I am currently playing through the Shin Megami Tensei 4 for the DS or 3DS. Where Huel, your brain is already switched off. Brisket may have.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm already done.
Brisket may have.
I know this one. Yeah.
Vaguely heard about this, but the series is basically they all take place in like a ruined dystopian Tokyo, which I really like the game, but so far my biggest problem with it is the fact that I do not know Japanese.
You can't say the name.
No, I can't say the name either, but I don't ever have to explain it to anyone in my everyday life, like ever. So, I don't know Japanese geography at all. So it's like telling me, oh, you're in Shinjuku right now, and you need to go to Shibuya. And I don't know where the hell any of these places are. Or even how to say them. Thank God I don't have to say them. But
they don't give you a map?
There is an in-game map, but it is only... First off, you can't pause the game to look at it. So if you're trying to look at the map, enemies are constantly attacking you.
Sounds really fun.
Doesn't it now? So, I don't know. I mostly just wander around and hope that the place they want me to go to is like an area after the place I'm currently in. And I have to use Google to play the game half the time, and most of my searches are like, how do I get to blank in Shin Megami Tensei 4?
Shin Megami.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, it's... The thing is, like, this is, like, game, I don't know, 4 in this.
Is that because... Did you figure that out because of the 4 at the end?
Well, all of the numbering for their games is weird, because I'm looking at it now, and by the way, yes, the numbering is 4, but this is 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the 9th game in the series.
Mm.
Actually, no.
That GTA syndrome.
This is the 10th game in the series. The next game, which just came out, I think it just came out in North America this month, is Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse, which it is not, from what I've read, it's not a direct sequel. It just happens at the same time in a different part of the world. So I don't know why it's called 4. Why don't they just call it 5? Like, so
because it's the same world.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know, man.
You just said it wasn't a sequel. How could it be a sequel if it's not a sequel?
It's all confusing. It's all just a big mess.
I'll admit I've only been half listening.
Shin Megami.
Shin Megami. That's all I've been saying in my head.
Shin Megami.
Shin, you need to go to Shibugi.
I think
get off the train at Shigugu and go to Shibugi.
It's like S H I B U Y A. So how do you
Shibugi?
How do you say that, Brisket?
Shibuya.
Zippity doodah.
Anyways. I don't know, what was your answer there, Huel, to his ask?
Oh, probably the one I always go to, or at least similar series, but Perfect Dark.
Tron. Oh, Perfect Dark. Okay.
Yes. One of those classic near future type games. But it definitely could. The future. Mm-hmm. There's some robots.
Could happen.
Robots. There's gadgets. There's mm-hmm. even aliens from another world.
But the most unrealistic part is
a woman is the main character.
Oh, God.
She is somehow made it as a secret agent.
Steve, what are you doing to your own show here?
I mean, I should have known, given the game this week.
Yes. Although one I can't vouch for, but I always hear is good, is the Deus Ex series.
Oh, yeah, I have those. Never played them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I bought one for the 360, and then my 360 broke, and I'm completely unmotivated to either get a new one or get it fixed.
The newer ones. The one I got is maybe in a bundle or something on Steam for like $5 for game of the year.
Yeah.
Well, it had came out like 2 years ago.
Whatever the one, it was like Human Buttholes. Human Divided. Or whatever it was called. How do I put this? The first new one. Because there was one that came out in, like, the late 90s or whatever, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But then there was, like, a recent one, like, four years ago or so.
Human Revolution.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking
about.
That's
the one I have, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one I bought and I can't play anymore.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of futuristic kind of set series. System Shock is another cult classic there.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. Huel, did you receive any other emails this week or just that one?
Yeah, that was it. Scooter. No. Scooty. Well,
I received 2 emails.
Oh.
The first one.
Popular.
You.
The first one. Hey, guys. I loved last week's show with Cosmo. She's a sassy gal that really cooks on air. Speaking of cooking, what's your favorite food item in a video game? Sincerely, Cosmo.
Hmm.
I think we've had this one before.
I think that was the space dog writing in, perhaps.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be. I mean,
yeah,
dogs love to eat. Dogs are always looking for food.
Yeah. Favorite food? I don't know if this has been an ask before.
I think it has because I remember my answer.
I don't remember my answer. So I will say, I think I remember Teeb's answer if I want to guess.
Okay, guess
the wall turkeys in Castlevania.
Oh, that's one of them. Yeah.
But
That's not the answer, but that's, ham. That's one that was brought up.
Exactly. Go ahead. I might think for a bit. What was yours, Steve?
Mine is the spicy curry from Kirby.
Oh. It
flames out all over the place when you eat one.
That's a good one.
Kirby shoots flames out of his holes.
His various holes.
My favorite is a classic, which is, well, now that my favorite right now, I should say, as right, opposed
right,
to earlier.
Right.
You got to keep your rankings up to date. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would be the cherries in Pac-Man and all that other. No. All that other
an,
good
old, an old classic making a comeback.
Most yeah. classic.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Huel? Did you think of one?
How about all the drugs in Fallout? Eat them drugs. you got Jet. You got Mentats.
Psycho.
Psycho.
You got buff tats.
What about
Psycho Buff?
Orange Mentats. You got
Great Mentats.
Great.
You got plain Mentats.
Or bananas in Donkey Kong Country.
Nothing better than the sound of picking up a banana in Donkey Kong Country.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that is a good
that
one.
That little plink is beep, 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 beep. Juicy. Music to my ears.
God, I regret that they wrote in about this because I am starving right now. I need to finish the show.
Damn you, Cosmo.
Yeah, all right, I got one more email. Okay. YPB, last week's show was a disgusting embracing of the world's vilest medium. Whatever happened to the good old days when one could curl up with a book and escape from the idiot box's disgusting grasp? Also, do you heathens ever cover books on your disgusting program? Disgusting, disgusting, disgusting idiots and fools. Best wishes, J.K. Rowling. P.S. Todd for host in 2017. Kind of.
That's a weird ask.
All over the map.
For a video game show.
Yeah.
I mean, you play Vidges on a TV. Why is J.K. Rowling's, she made her money. I'm just assuming. I mean, it has to be the real J.K. Rowling's.
Mm-hmm. It's not somebody else. It is a real person. It's just, is it the one you're thinking of?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just jumping off a ledge here, making my assumption. I'm flying off half cocked here. I'm assuming that this is the J.K. Rowling's of Harry Potter fame. And if so, hey, J.K., check this out, man. You wrote some books, but it didn't get popular until those kids glued their eyes to Danny Radcliffe and his pal, Hermione. And the red one.
Whoever that
that's
was.
That's how this thing got popular. It wasn't because of books, man. It's because it zapped right into their eyes.
Yeah, they only made the movie because the book series was so unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They said, we might as well make this a movie and make some money out of it.
I mean, just treat your book. When you wrote your first book, be honest, that was a spec script. You wanted to shop this thing out.
Yeah. And she just padded a few pages in and called it a book instead.
Yeah, I mean, I do like books about video games, but she just says, well, I'm assuming it's a she, but it does say J.K. Rowling, so it could be a male here. Do you heathens ever cover books? So it could mean any book, really.
No, like the Bible?
Well, books plural.
Yeah, we could review the Bible next week.
Yeah, let's do it.
There was a Bible game for the Game Boy.
I have Bible Adventures on the NES.
Nice.
Comes in a blue cartridge.
Oh, see, we're experts here. I have a feeling we might play a game that features someone who's heavily into the Bible, but not the Bible Adventures or Bible games. We'll see though.
Talking about Super Mario Land?
Now that is a good game. So we will not be playing it next week. So, I don't know. Did you have a... Is there any Ask the Sweet Boys this week, Todd?
Sure. Yeah, we got an email. Mm-hmm. And ask. And this ask is an for ask. The Sweet Boys. So let's ask the Sweet Boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write in to us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise specified. All right, and this week's questioner writes this. I like two guys. Who should I go for?
Ooh, scandalous.
Scandalous. So there are two guys. I sort of like guy one, and I know he likes me, but I really like guy two. But I don't know his opinion. I don't know what to do. Guy one is a caring guy and cute, yet I don't feel as much of a connection as guy two. But this guy really likes me back. Guy two is caring, attractive, funny, and even more. But I don't know his feelings for me. I just know my own feelings.
All right. Okay. So we don't know how old these people are.
They didn't say.
Assuming mid-30s.
Mid-30s. Has to be.
Early 40s.
I mean, they're well into their careers by now.
Yeah. I would say ask them both on a date, but at the same time, at the same restaurant.
Ooh.
And make sure you're seated far apart. Maybe like behind a wall or around the corner from each other.
Yeah, you have to make sure they can't see each other.
Yeah, and then have a date with both of them using various excuses to leave the table with one and go to the other table with the other.
But remember, the guy one said he really likes the blue dress, and guy two said he really likes the black dress.
So oh, that's true.
Yeah. You have to make a trip
in
to the
between
to change every
in
time.
In some sort of madcap adventure, having to switch dresses between hand, and I'm sure nothing will go wrong in between. Like, you won't run into someone else you know, or you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at the end of that date is when you're really going to know which guy's going to put up with all your bullshit, and that's the one you know is the right run for you.
Yeah.
I just remember an episode of a show that was really good about this. It was a documentary.
This scenario has never happened before.
And,
I don't know what you're talking about.
And a girl, DJ couldn't decide whether she wanted to date Steve or Elton. And it found out because she couldn't decide, because they were both so equal, she decided that neither one was right for her. And I think that's what's happening here. Like, if you can't decide between two people, I think it's kind of like when an NFL coach says he has two starting quarterbacks. No, it means you have no starting quarterbacks. Mm. So I think you need to dump both of them, and in the most visible way possible. That way, everyone else will know, hey, you're on the market.
Yeah,
you're not
especially if they do it in front of both of them.
Yes. You know what? Do it in front of their family, because, you know, obviously you like their genetics a bit. Maybe their dad or their brother will see this and step up to the plate.
Pick up the scraps. I'm going to go slightly different than you guys. I'm going to say you really like guy two. He is very attractive. He's funny. And even more, as you said.
Uh-huh.
So you need to be with guy two. However, you should string guy one along. Don't go on any dates with him. Just kind of wink at him every once in a while. You know, graze your hand across his ears or whatever women do. And you know, he might give you some presents. He might follow you around, give you some presents. You know,
yeah, hold things for you.
Yeah, hold things for you. Yeah. But eventually, at some point, you're gonna have to make the move on guy two. And even after you do that, keep guy one around. Until guy two proposes.
Yeah. And make sure you complain about everything Guy 2 does wrong while you're dating to Guy 1.
I mean, you can always hang out with Guy 1. You guys can have Netflix night. You can go over and have a pajama party. But of course, you know, he's sleeping on the couch and you're sleeping in his bed.
Well, this was very helpful, I think. You get a lot of different perspectives this week from the Sweet Boys. So on that note, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say tonight?
The only thing I could think of is yeehaw!
And Brisket, how about you?
Like my old friend, Dark Horse says,
oh boy,
I'm in big heap trouble.
It's the same thing.
That's after he gets shot and killed and murdered.
Oh, he's in big. Okay.
Yeah. After you almost killed the chief, this lady runs out and she covers him, and then your cowboy goes, "Don't worry, ma'am, we won't shoot him." Which after you've been shooting him for like 5 minutes, it's a very confusing audio sample.
Odd, very odd.
Yes, but I just thought that would be a good note to end on this week. So, So here is a little snifferoo from next week's game.
Once upon a time, in a distant and magical kingdom, there lived a young serving boy named Chauncey.
The king! The boy is attacking the king! God! God!
Your Majesty!
You dare attack the king?
No!
For this, I will see you die slowly.
No!
Nonsense! The lad saved my life! What is your name, boy?
Chauncey, sir. My lord. Your highness, sir.
And where do you hail from?
Well, I have no home, sire. I was raised by a kind herd of wild cows.
Cows? My God. Ah! Well, from this day forward, you are Sir Chauncey. I dub thee Knight of the Realm and grant you vast tracts of land in the Shimto Plains, along with the use of my mighty sword, Grim Thwacker. It served me well in defending the kingdom from the evil, insatiable, terrifying whore.